Hey everybody, this is Andres Rodriguez, and this is So What. Alright, so this is the first episode of So What, and I think it might be important to give you guys a little bit of background information as to why I chose the name So What for this podcast. And my focus is going to be overall addressing the attitude that a lot of people carry today when it comes to dealing with difficult issues. It seems to be that whenever there's an issue that doesn't necessarily affect someone directly in that moment in time, their attitude towards it is so what? You know, like, why should I care? What difference does it make to me? It's not affecting me right now, so what? And I think it's important to address that type of attitude, because with so many things going on around us and so many things that are happening right now that are going to affect our future, having that type of an attitude is counterproductive to a lot of what's going on around us. And my hope is that we could avoid having a situation where later on in life, in our generation and for future generations, start to think, well, why didn't anyone before us do this type of thing? That always seems to be kind of the case with most people. There's issues that come back later on that generations behind them deal with, but I would like to think, as much as anyone else, as we progress, you know, generations, that'll kind of become a thing of the past, and people will be a little bit more proactive about it. So hopefully by the end of this podcast, if I've managed to convince you or provide you with any kind of information that's helpful to you, we can kind of, you know, get people to start moving away from that attitude. But we'll see how things go. Everyone is entitled to their own opinion, and every opinion should be appreciated or at least considered at some point, because I mean, that's someone's thoughts, that's someone's feelings, and everybody matters at this point. I mean, they always have, and it's important not to discount people simply because we don't agree with them. So to give you some information and to give you my reasoning behind why I choose not to say so what, is because of who I am and where I come from. My name is Andres Rodriguez, and I'm a first-generation college student at WSU and first-generation immigrant. My parents immigrated from Mexico at a very young age, as teenagers. They came here without their family, all on their own, and have been living here ever since then. From then, my mom has raised 9 children. Half of them are currently in college, and the other half are in elementary school and high school. But that gives kind of a perspective of where I come from. I come from a big family. Lots of different thoughts and ideas, lots of constant disagreeing and agreeing. But today's topic regarding Donald Trump and rhetoric that he is providing the country and the things that he is doing that affects immigrants affect me, because I grew up in the immigrant lifestyle. My parents' first jobs when they came here were working in the field anywhere from California, Oregon to Washington, picking berries or picking vegetables, trying to make a living off of that to provide for themselves and their future children. My whole life, I've spent summers and winters working on farms, picking fruit and taking care of land, learning and experience the life that immigrants face every day. I've seen and I've experienced that hardship that comes with living illegally in this country. While I was able to take breaks because of school, others couldn't. And I mean, they spent the year round working that way. My parents taught us these lessons and worked tirelessly to help us to hope to be able to provide a stable life for us. One that they would have liked to do in their original towns in their home country, but given the economic system in Mexico and a lot of other factors, they were unable to. But the U.S. could provide these opportunities, and that's why they came. Their idea wasn't, we're going to go to the U.S. and take and only benefit from this country. They wanted to come and be part of this country because they, as much as many other immigrants coming to the United States, understand what potential this country has and what it can provide and how it can change and create people's lives and futures. They saw how that could help their future children and future generations. Their sacrifices will and have provided me so many opportunities to the point that I can sit here and record this podcast. Had I been in Mexico, had I grown up in Mexico, I can't say for sure where I would be or what I would be doing right now or what type of person I would be at this point. So for me, when I take time to focus on this country's politics as a regular concerned U.S. citizen, it's difficult for me to see these things and essentially accept and have to watch President Trump say these things about the country where my family comes from. The country that I love and partially identify with as a Mexican American. Now, the way that I think about this is that I am both Mexican and American. But as a person with mixed culture, I was raised to think you are a person and you have both cultures in you. And hopefully you can use that to grow to be a great person overall. So when I see these comments on TV, on the media, and I have to hear them, I feel personally attacked and hurt. That's my reason for not just saying so what. So hopefully with this information, I mean, you can see things a bit better from my perspective and maybe try to understand a little bit where I'm coming from. And hopefully by the end of this, it'll start to make a little bit more sense from my end and hopefully on yours as well. So as many of you know, Donald Trump from the very beginning of his campaign has said countless racist, bigoted, and insulting comments about Mexican immigrants and really, really all groups that are out there. But specifically for Mexican immigrants, what I wanted to do to get this podcast started, rather than giving you an example and list and then telling you how I feel each one, I'm going to go ahead and give you a list of quotes that have come from Donald Trump. These quotes essentially speak for themselves, given how terrible they are, really. So what I'm going to do just for the beginning part of this is I'm going to go ahead and just kind of start giving quotes and listing off things that he said. I won't get too far into them until later into the podcast, but for now, I kind of want to set the tone, and so that way people get an idea, in case they seem to forget, what it is that he's actually said. So on his very first presidential campaign, the day he decided to make it official that he was running for president, this was his first set of comments regarding Mexicans and Mexico. He said, I quote, "When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're sending people that have lots of problems. They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people." In response to those comments, when questioned, at that time, President Donald Trump had this to say regarding those quotes. He said, "Remember my opening remarks at Trump Tower when I opened? Oh, he was so tough. I used the word rape. And yes, when it came out of where this journey coming up, women are raped at levels that nobody ever seen. They don't want attention. They don't want to mention that. So we have to change our laws. And the Democrats, what they're doing is just, it's insanity. Nobody understands what's going on." And just as a reference, I'm reading these as quotes, so if anything sounds off or the language is a little weird, that's just good old Donald J. Trump. In a collection of comments that aren't regarding Mexican immigrants, but other immigrants from around the world, Donald Trump had this to say. When referring to Haitians, he said, I quote, "They all have AIDS." When referring to Nigerian immigrants, he said, I quote, "Go back to their huts." And when speaking about Afghanistan and possible refugees and immigrants that needed to come from there that were seeking asylum, he claimed that Afghanistan was a, quote, "terrorist haven." Now, while I could focus on entirely Mexican immigrants for the core focus of all the disparaging comments that Trump has said in the past, I think, for the purpose of generally showing the scope of his racism and bigotry, it would be important to include other people that he's chosen to make comments about. So in 1991, the book Trumped was written by John R. O'Donnell, and Trump was quoted in that book saying, "Laziness is a trait in blacks. It really is. I believe that." And again, in the 2016 presidential campaign, Trump, in the middle of one of his campaign rallies, pointed at an African American man and said, I quote, "Look at my African American over there." One thing that Trump seems to have in common is when referring to people of different ethnicities or countries, he doesn't refer to them as people. He gives them a simple label, and that's who they are. Nothing more than that. And that shows that his lack of empathy or lack of understanding for anybody else other than himself is stronger than it ever has been. And comments like these are the ones that really show the type of person that he is and really give an example of the type of hate speech and the type of racism that he perpetuates at his campaign rallies. And those are the issues that continue to pile up. At this point, Mexican immigrants are his number one target when it comes to scapegoating and using as the main target.
while he spreads his racism and his hate speech and a lot of the other misinformation about other people and other ethnicities, Mexican immigrants tend to be his main focus about it, especially in regards to economy and the wall that he promised would be built in the beginning of his presidential campaign. Many believe that that was one of the main reasons he was able to win so many supporters. His tenacity when it came to focusing on Mexican immigrants, just it sent him over the roof as far as gaining supporters versus any other Republican candidate at that time. Just as a reminder, these comments are quotes taken directly from Donald Trump, and they really give us a good look into the type of person that he is and the type of things we can expect and have come to expect from him. So, for some people don't necessarily understand why these comments are hurtful, and they may think, he's just speaking off the top of his head. He's just saying stuff. He's being erratic. He's being regular, crazy old Donald Trump. You shouldn't take these things to heart. But the issue is that the person that's saying them is what matters. Not necessarily Donald Trump himself, but the fact that he, at that time, was running to become, potentially become the president and is currently the president. When you have the leader of your nation, the leader of the country that you were born in, you care about, that you came to, that you're currently living in, openly and so casually, nonchalantly disparaging you as a person and your country of origin, the country that, in all reality, you would much rather prefer to be in if you possibly could. But ultimately, you're in the United States because that's the best chance that you have at living the best life you possibly can. And most likely helping your family, your kids, and future generations. When you are an immigrant in a country and you find yourself in hearing these things continuously on TVs, radio stations, and they're constantly being talked about, it's like it's continuously being reminded that these things were said about you. It might be easy to think, we can just kind of brush these off and forget about the fact that he said these. But the reality of it is that with the way media is today, you can't just hide from these things. Unless you, if you don't have a phone, if you never go outside, you never turn on TV, never turn on a laptop, you never turn on, like, look at your smartwatch. It's almost impossible to miss these types of comments. They become front news headlines from the moment that they're said. They're constantly being broadcasted and thrown everywhere around. And not in the context that Donald Trump says them. News stations are putting on their with their titles, highlighting words and comments like they're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, and they're rapists. Those types of things are continually being posted all over the TV, being said over radio, music, even on other podcasts. These things are continuously being talked about. And one of the things a lot of people forget is that these comments have a lot of lasting effects that we don't always see right away. So my perspective on this, and again, this is simply my perspective. I appreciate anyone else's perspective, and everyone has a right to their own opinion. But as a first generation immigrant, my parents are immigrants from Mexico. These comments, I feel like, I may take them a little bit differently than most people will, which is only natural. Anybody would take any comment directed at towards them as a person very, very seriously and would react differently than someone else, that maybe it's just that is a US-born citizen that's never been to Mexico or doesn't have any association with that. So again, for me, these comments, I think they're extremely hurtful, and I think they're very dangerous, because it puts people like illegal immigrants and regular Mexican immigrants, ones that are naturalized, have US citizenship. It puts them in a difficult situation when it comes to interacting with people around them. Because at this point, they're starting to see this become the trend. They're starting to see that things like this are becoming accepted and that Donald Trump is no longer seen as a crazy racist guy ranting and yelling things over his TV show, The Apprentice. He is now a potential candidate. And now the president of the United States. And when you find yourself in a country where that's become like the norm, or you start seeing or feeling like that's the norm, that makes life significantly more difficult than it already is. And the thing is a lot of people don't like to address these types of comments. They'll say them, they'll hear them, and they'll, you know, give it like a thought here or there, throw in a commentary one here or there whenever they're talking with their friends. Like, you know, that's not cool that he said that. I don't think he's right about that. Maybe he's racist. You know, maybe he meant it a different way. Those types of things. People are really dismissive about these comments because they're difficult things to talk about. And again, that falls into the so what attitude that a lot of people carry about these things. They assume, you know, give your opinion, tell people that you don't agree with it, and that's the best of it, and that's it. That's the most that they can do or should do because it doesn't affect them any more than that. But the reality of it is that these comments, what they do, especially coming from the President of the United States, give an example, and they lead people to believe that these types of things, these types of comments, these types of thoughts, these types of ideas are okay to have and okay to express openly and so casually, to the point where it becomes essentially casual racism. You know, people think it's okay to say these things, to make comments like this, to disparage groups of people, not just Mexicans as a whole or alone or just Mexican immigrants, illegal immigrants, just people in general. When the President of the United States starts to make people feel like it's okay, and essentially starts saying it's okay to say these types of things, to throw this type of hate speech towards people, it makes everyone else feel like it's okay. And that's the beginning of the cycle. That's the beginning of the trend where we start to see this become the norm in the United States.
What's interesting is the way in which Donald Trump managed to get people to buy into his ideas. His racist, bigoted, and sexist ways seem not to deter people. Time and time again, it's been proven that the facts and the numbers that he references when engaging in his rallies and spreading hate speech and disparaging comments about Mexican immigrants aren't true. Whether it's covering crimes, deaths, or the numbers of immigrants in the U.S., he's relied heavily on false information. The reason behind using false information is in order to scare people. If he can expose their fears and direct their anger towards a central point, in this case, immigrants, then it can further push his agenda at the expense of immigrants and the American people. With his election, we've now reached a point where facts no longer hold the same weight or importance as they used to. Blatant lies and scare tactics with false information is now the norm, and as this continues to become more common, we see a decline in integrity and honor in our political system and the government as a whole. We can no longer rely on the president or his office for reliable and true information, which only perpetuates the issues we currently face. This is dangerous territory in the U.S. political system. As citizens rally and keep coming behind Trump, we see his influence grow stronger and the acceptance of false information just spreads further. By taking this information and everything he says as fact, we see more and more people care less and less about the current issues. The attitude of so what, and who cares, has grown and influenced many people now, pushing them to step further back and reducing the amount of people that would normally make an effort to fight and protect those that are disadvantaged and can't defend themselves. In this case, illegal immigrants, they've been Trump's scapegoat from the beginning and the focus of much of his hate speech and insults. While thousands of families are ripped apart and wrongfully detained and sent back to countries that they haven't seen in years, children that were brought here as infants are being deported back to Mexico, countries that they have no claim to, that they don't understand, some of them not even being able to speak Spanish. As these things continue, we see a deeper divide grow between immigrants and U.S. citizens, as well as between U.S. citizens that support immigrants and the ones that don't. As the divide between Americans grow, we see more and more of the effects of Trump's dangerous rhetoric.
See, and what a lot of people start to wonder when they start to hear these things and actually take a moment to think about how ridiculous these comments are and how terrible they truly are, they start to think, well, who is it that's actually believing these things? Like, what type of person would actually, you know, accept this and believe this and agree with him? And you start to realize that there are truly a lot of people that do agree with him. Grant, I mean, he became the President of the United States. He was elected the President of the United States. Whether there was other things going on around it, he became the President of the United States. And at this point in time, he is the representative of our country. And when the representative of our country starts to say these types of things, you know, it makes you feel like maybe the rest of the country really does feel this way. And on my end, as, you know, I was born in the United States, and I'm a U.S. citizen. I've only been to Mexico a handful of times, but that doesn't stop people from seeing me simply as Mexican. They see the, you know, they see the color of my skin. They see the way that I speak. My name. My name is Andres Rodriguez. It's not. There's not really a way to, you know, get around that, to hide that type of thing. People start to wonder, and I mean, I start to wonder how many people around me truly feel this way. If Donald Trump was elected to be our president, how many people truly feel this way? And then I along with everyone else, really start to wonder, how is it that he's convincing so many people to feel this way? You know, and how much of it is them just choosing to follow along, you know, getting caught up in their, they find themselves and they label themselves as conservatives or Republicans, and they choose to stay on that side. And they don't want to come, you know, switch over to be a Democrat, moderate, or whatever other end of spectrum they want to be on. You start to wonder, how is it that people get caught up in this? How is it that people find themselves voting for a man that is so open and okay with throwing casual phrases like these around, openly disparaging people and labeling them as rapists and criminals and bad people? And I mean, one of the comments that he chose to bring up continuously when referring to Mexican people or Mexican criminals was calling them bad hombres, which is him being dismissive of Mexicans as a general and the language itself, using to, you know, giving them like a tagline, creating them, labeling them as something other than making it seem like they're people less and less is essentially what I'm getting to. So as we wrap up the podcast, I want to go back over some of the things I've said. As passionate as I am about these issues, I don't think I have any one definitive answer to fix all the types of issues. Because they're all difficult and intricate issues. People buying into hate speech, powerful rhetoric, and how it affects the United States. It's all very detailed. It's a big concept, and it's not as simple as saying, turn off the TV. It's not that type of thing. It doesn't work that way. It's important to recognize that this is a bigger problem. Bigger than small communities, it's the entire country. But I think there are small things that I believe people can do to make a difference. It may not seem like much, but if you can change one person's mind, that one person can make a difference in someone else's life, and hopefully that can continue on. I mean, that's how we communicate, and that's how society grows. Ideas are passed on and shared, and hopefully if they're good ones, things that don't involve racism or hate speech, it'll keep going, and those things will keep getting shared. So to get to my point, I think the best way is we as individuals can go about combating things like hate speech and other similar issues is by having open conversations with people around us. Whether we agree with them or not, having these conversations are key in changing hearts and minds of people. Having that conversation with someone may be difficult and possibly uncomfortable, but it could potentially be life-changing either to them or you. It doesn't have to be intricate or super deep or heartfelt. It can be a small conversation such as, you know what, that information you were sharing actually isn't true. But if you want, I can share or show you something else that, kind of give you the real facts about it. Or if, you know, maybe say to them, I would appreciate it if you didn't speak about that, this person or that type of a person in that manner, because I don't personally appreciate it. And if you'd like, we can maybe talk about it and, you know, maybe you'll reconsider your views on that. And those things work because, other people like when someone takes an interest in them or makes an effort to get to know them, you know, just to better understand them, even a little bit more. That's how you get people to be able to change their minds or reconsider different perspectives. Take the time, make an effort, focus on more than just yourself, and get rid of that so what attitude. Take the time if you have it or get an opportunity. It might feel a little bit uncomfortable, but if you're comfortable with it, have the conversation with someone you don't know, you don't necessarily agree. It doesn't have to be like some random person that's the complete opposite of you. It could just be a casual person that, you know, maybe you don't see eye to eye with. Whether they agree with Trump or not, and whether you agree with Trump or not, talk about these things, because that's what will get us closer to realizing the things that we as individuals hold true and society holds true. And that's what can help us move closer together. It can help heal a lot of the damage Donald Trump has already done and the damage he will continue to do. And we will see the repercussions further down the road, guaranteed. So if at any moment, why not start now trying to remedy like the small bits we can manage as individuals? It's important to remember if we don't do anything now, we're going to find ourselves in a situation where we're kicking and thinking to ourselves, you know, I should have done something before. And again, while it may seem insignificant, sitting down and having a simple conversation with someone can potentially change the course of their lives and possibly someone else's. All right, everybody. So as much as I would love to keep talking about Donald Trump and sharing all my thoughts and opinions on him with you all, I think this is a good stopping spot. So I just wanted to say thank you for everyone that took the time to listen to this podcast. Whether you enjoyed it or not, I mean, let me know. Give me some comments. Give me some feedback. It's always appreciated. Again, my name is Andres Rodriguez, and this is So What?